the Lord and good morning. Good morning to everyone. It is a blessing, as we say every time we have an opportunity to praise the Lord and to be able to stand and to grow from the reading of the Word, always a blessed day. And so I pray this morning that you're enjoying the opportunity once again to be able to sit at home in fellowship with your family and enjoy not only the praise and worship from the praise team this morning, but my prayer is that you'll enjoy the Word as it comes forward. Just before I begin, I want to make a couple quick announcements. This week on Tuesday, I said it during our Bible study on Thursday night, this week on Tuesday, if you missed us last Tuesday, we kind of had a round table conversation. Myself and a couple of the biblical teachers here and pastors kind of sat around and we had some dialogue on some things that are going on in the world. And so we're going to continue that again this Tuesday. So this Tuesday at 7 p.m., if you didn't get an opportunity before, tune in this Tuesday, Facebook, YouTube, our website, as we come together and kind of have a roundtable conversation on life as a believer in this world. And then on Wednesday night, we have been coming together during our Zoom conferencing to have prayer. But this Wednesday night, we're going to do something a little bit different, whereas we're going to be streaming prayer service live. And so what's going to happen is the praise team is going to be with me and a couple of our pastors, and we're going to come before you. And we're going to worship the Lord, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, praying for our nation, praying for the church, and most importantly, praying that the gospel will be spread. So that will take place this Wednesday at 7 p.m. So Tuesday, the roundtable, Wednesday, praise and worship will take place via streaming live on YouTube, our Facebook channel, and also our website. And then Thursday night, as usual, we'll come back before you again, and we will continue our study that I've been doing through the book of Philippians, looking at those things that continue to bring us joy. So again, I pray it's another opportunity for us in the middle of the week to kind of have a few different days where we've set aside a good hour where we can just spend some time growing and magnifying God, thanking Him for all He is and all that He has done in keeping us. And so with that being said, we're going to go to the Word of God this morning. So let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, this morning we come to you and our hearts are always open to receive. Lord, we just pray that as we come today, Lord, that our minds are clear, that it's focused on hearing from you. Father, there is much going on in the world in our hearts, Father. Our prayer life has centered on you not only healing, Lord, not only you protecting, Lord, but that you are drawing and that you are getting the glory in the midst of all that is taking place. In our homes, we've had the opportunity to share your love. We had the opportunity to live your love. And so, Father, we're continuing to pray that you strengthen us to be your light no matter where we may go. Father, hospitals are full, and we're asking for you to touch and to heal and to move. We're asking for your very love to be poured out as we know that it already is. And so this morning, as we come to your word, Lord, let us be attentive. Holy Spirit, take over. We know this book can make us what we are not, for it already has made us the righteousness of Christ. So we ask you to guide us. In Jesus' precious name, we love you and we pray. Amen. So we're going to continue our study in the book of Ephesians. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read from verse number 15 through verse number 23. So let me kind of give you a heads up this morning. I'm going to be probably throwing a lot of scripture in your direction, okay? And so if you have your Bible with you and you're going to probably try to keep up, it's best to have a pad of paper right next to you so you can write these passages of scripture down, because what's going to happen is I want you to be able to go back and look at them. And so there's these moments, and lately it seems to be every single moment, the Lord has continued to guide me as each week has built upon the week before, and obviously that's always the intent, but sometimes you're amazed at how well things build on top of each other, and you see that it's always the Holy Spirit and not man. So with that being said, we're going to begin in Ephesians chapter number 1, so be patient. If you need to go get an extra cup of coffee, I'll give you 1 second. Okay, you got it. All right, if you need to make sure you got enough pepper for those eggs, the potatoes are just right, go ahead and turn around. Get that pillow, make sure it's nice and comfortable. Get your feet propped up. If it means you got to put a kid underneath there to put your feet on top of, knock yourself out. Okay, do whatever you got to do. But I need you to get comfortable because we're going to be here, not for long, but for a minute. Okay, so just trust me. Let's just put our faith in the Lord. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you may be seated. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Guide us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, I pray that the eyes of your understanding continue to be open, just as Paul was praying for the believers in Ephesus. We become familiar with the scriptures and the various writers the precious Spirit has, Holy Spirit has used to give us the Word of God. And as we become more familiar with the writings, there's something else we begin to become more familiar with, and that's the repetition that we see throughout the scriptures. Last week, we saw from both Paul and Peter a deep desire for us as children of God to grow in the knowledge of Him. And it's interesting because as I was being led back to our study in Ephesians, I was wondering if this is the Lord's doing or my own. You see, I began to kind of struggle with finding topics on how to comfort the church body in regards to this pandemic and the loss of life that so many people are experiencing. And if I'm going to be completely honest, there was a part of me that wanted to move past the encouragement, or should I just say, move past searching for scriptures and passages that spoke more directly to how we were feeling emotionally. And don't get me wrong, there's a time and a place. Solomon said there is a time and a season for everything under the sun. But something within me was becoming weary. Not in encouraging the body, but only in speaking to the feelings that everyone was experiencing. So I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. My desire to comfort the body through the Word of God was being motivated by the Holy Spirit, and it was genuine. So every sermon that's been delivered offering comfort was genuine. What I'm saying is there was a moment when I felt as though I was being led in a different direction, and my finite mind could not wrap itself around it, because I couldn't see how returning back here to Ephesians at this time would be beneficial for the body, that they would be able to find comfort and healing through this trying time. My two favorite words, but God. The all-knowing Father was leading me back to our book of study, and each section has been a tremendous encouragement to the heart of us as believers. I hope you're catching what I'm saying. When I say each section has brought encouragement to the heart, remember last week we learned that the heart is not just a reference to the physical organ. It's more than just the seat of emotions. Remember, it's the deepest, most innermost part of a man. So here's what I'm saying. At the onset of this pandemic, our emotions were stirred. As we're still living in these mortal bodies filled with emotions that are given to us by God. But as we mature, we learn not to be led by them. And even though at times they overwhelm us, beloved, Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. But it's also in those moments we come to recognize something about our Father. He comforts us. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, said in 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and of God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." I love that he calls him the God of all comfort. He brings us comfort through the knowledge of him. You see, the very scriptures that many pastors sought at the onset of this pandemic spoke to how we were feeling. But the beauty is, while the focus may be on feelings, our feelings can't be calmed without involving the intellect, which is our mind. And without gaining understanding in the Father and how he brings comfort to us. So when knowledge leads to understanding, Only then can there be a willingness to believe and trust what's been said and heard. And it's at that point, the byproduct of that trust is a calm that begins to take place on the inside of a man. And when that calm comes, he begins to rest quietly in the Lord. So the beauty is, God's word is the source of all comfort, whether it's addressing doctrinal truths or whether it's speaking to a feeling that we're experiencing at the moment. All in all, it works to comfort our hearts as we grow in a knowledge of Him. That's what makes God's Word so beautiful, that it provides comfort at all times. The more we know about Him, the greater our confidence is in Him, the stronger our faith resides in Him. And this is why I believe our focus has been on the heart's understanding. Remember that intellect and those emotions as they come together. Because when our mind is stirred, we can find rest the more we know about our King, the more we know about our Father, the more we know about the Holy Spirit at work on the inside of us. Now, this introduction to where we're going this morning might be just a little bit much, but I just want you to follow where I'm going to be headed this morning. You see, it's about what we come to understand and what we come to know about our Savior and King. And this is really important for us as believers. So I want your mind to really focus on what thus saith the Lord and not what thus saith will. We have to remember something that's very important this morning, that we as a body of believers, we still have an enemy. Sometimes we lose sight of that. Satan still holds sway over the world. He is the prince of this world, meaning that he didn't take a step back when the world began to experience upheaval or tragedy. In fact, he knows this world is passing away and everything within it. Therefore, what we call tragedy, he calls opportunity. What we see as upheaval, he sees as the perfect moment to move. You see, it walks hand in hand with his plan. Remember what Jesus says in John chapter number 10, the thief, referring to our enemy, the devil, Satan, the adversary, the thief. He comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy, John 10:10. So the world's suffering walks hand in hand with his plan for destruction in a fallen world. Therefore, we cannot lose sight. We cannot not understand what the Lord is saying to us in these moments, especially during these times. And here's what I mean. Paul, writing in the second half of this letter, he said something in Ephesians. He says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Let me give you the backdrop. Remember in Ephesus, Paul is speaking to a group of people who were extremely worldly in terms of how they lived and the Greek gods and the different idols that they set up and that they served. And so here's what's happening. Some of the believers claim God's grace and love was so far reaching that it didn't matter how they lived, they could continue to indulge in their worldly pleasures and that God would not condemn them. Now, we know this is a distortion of what grace and love really is. In fact, Paul, trying to set them straight, he says this in verse 7, therefore do not become partakers with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true. And try, catch this, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Now again, I don't like to take passages of scripture and use them out of context. In keeping in context, the issue is they were professing I'm a follower of Jesus, but they were saying it's okay to indulge in your worldly passion, and then they were encouraging others that they could continue to live in that same manner. God's love and grace will keep you, they were saying. And Paul said, I need you to hear me. Those words are empty. They contain no real truth. You see, beloved, remember, information's coming, right? But in all thy getting, in terms of knowledge, we're to get understanding. If the depiction of grace and love, the way they were describing it, were true, then we could all continue to live as we did before coming to Christ. Nothing would change. We can continue in whatever practice that pleased our flesh before. But beloved, as we come to understand God's love and grace, that which we once found pleasure in actually begins to change. I love how the prophet Isaiah says in 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Beloved, remember, in all our getting, we're to get understanding. We're hearing a lot, but we have to make sure that we're not substituting one thing for another. Just please hear what I'm saying. When Paul said, try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord, what he's saying is that, listen, we have to seek to understand through the precious Holy Spirit that's within us what is coming from God and what is coming from the world. I like how one doctor, he describes trying to learn in this manner. Dr. Hertz says, putting to the test for the purpose of approving, for the purpose of proving, for the purpose of commending or accepting as good and authentic. As our minds are renewed through God's word, we prove in experience what's pleasing to God. Key in, we prove in experience what's pleasing to God. As we actually live these things out, we prove by doing. Beloved, if you don't remember anything else I say, we prove by doing. Looking at another pastor this week, Pastor Cole, and he says this: we do not determine what pleases the Lord by our feelings, which fluctuate, or by what the world or other Christians say or think. We don't even determine it by our own conscience, in that our conscience may be improperly informed. Rather, we learn what pleases the Lord through growing to understand His Word. Living to please the Lord is a fundamental difference between the believer and the unbeliever. An unbeliever may be a good man and even be somewhat righteous or upright, at least outwardly. He may be truthful, but he does it all out of selfish motives, for his own self-respect, or so that others will think highly of him. But only believers live to please the Lord. We have a new personal relationship with this one who snatches us out of a horrible pit. We now evaluate everything we do by the question, does this please the Lord who loved me and gave himself for me? So the first requirement for living in this dark world is to be children of light and to walk as children of light, doing everything to please the Lord. Both Pastor Cole and Dr. Hurt are really saying that, listen, beloved, as we come to Him, we're not being led by our emotions. We grow to understand. And as we grow to understand, we realize that there's a fundamental difference between how we see things as believers and how the world sees things. I really need you to key in on that this morning, because we're being informed by a lot of different things. But remember, the conscience cannot be fully trusted, because it's like a skylight. Whatever shines through the conscience is what informs our conscience. And so therefore, we have to be careful in terms of what we're shining in and through. And so a conscience can be trained to respond to the things of God, but can also be trained not to. And so we need to make sure that we keep coming back to the Word and understand what we're shining in through our conscience. So as we're hearing information from the world, everything that we have learned up until this point about the gospel of Jesus Christ, about the power of salvation, about God's love, should be informing our conscience as this information is coming in, so we can discern what is pleasing to the Lord. This is really important, especially right now, because Paul continues in Ephesians 5 and he says this: therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be foolish, he says. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Beloved, we must seek through the Holy Spirit to understand what the Lord's will is, not ours. What the Lord's will is, not the world. What the Lord's will is, so that we can know how we are to live, how we are to conduct ourselves, especially now. Beloved, at all times. You see, as this pandemic has been roaring, as we've been dealing with COVID-19, we have heard information after information. We have been inundated with information. Knowledge is being given. But in all our getting, we need to get understanding. What is the will of the Lord in regards to what is happening? Remember last week we prayed that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. And we saw how Paul was praying for a continued enlightenment. That means that every word that is spoken today, we have to take a step back and ask ourselves a question. Is it consistent with the will of the Lord? Is it consistent with divine truths? As believers, we don't want to believe that at this moment in time, we are now all come to a place where everyone's on the same page. We'd like to believe it, meaning that everyone has received Jesus. But the reality is we know that that is not the case. Beloved, we have to ask ourselves some very hard questions because we cannot forget that Satan still holds sway over the world. We cannot forget that there are two different views being lived out today. We cannot forget that there are two forces at work in this lower world of ours, Satan's and God's. One only needs to get to the end of Ephesians to understand what I mean. Paul in Ephesians 6, he describes what many of us know as the armor of God, something that we as believers must wear. Beloved, here's something we just really need to just grasp, really simple. You don't need armor if you're not in a war. It's just that simple. If you've been given armor, it's because that you're in a fight. And Paul describes throughout all of Ephesians the spiritual fight that we're in as believers. The NLT, it translates it this way. A final word, Ephesians 6, 10. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Beloved, MiGs like Top Gun are flying all around us. We're in a dogfight, and we've been in one. It didn't stop when all these things began to take place. It is continuing. The enemy still holds sway. And so in everything that we're getting, we're to get understanding. And in that understanding, we're seeking what? We're seeking to discern what the will of the Lord is. It's not hidden from us. It's right in front of us. But it's causing us to step outside our comfort zone and to go back in our mind and ask God, remind me what you have taught me. Remind me what I have learned. Holy Spirit, bring back to remembrance all that I have heard. I need to now stand in what it is that you would have me to do. This is where we're at, and we've been fitted with this perfect armor so that we can go out and we can do battle. Let me ask you a question. Since everything has happened, how well are you wearing that armor? Well, the helmet of salvation, I believe I'm saved, but it's sitting over here right now because I'm a little concerned about what's going on here, but if I have salvation, then I'm good. Right? Well, you know, I know I'm good, but I'm listening to everything everyone is saying, but the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, what does God's word say about what it is you're experiencing right now? Well, you know, I'm so worried about so many different things, but what happened to the shield of faith? What happened to the peace, which are the shoes that you wear? All these different things should be keeping us strengthened in the Lord in the middle of this pandemic. This might be what Satan considers a great opportunity, but I have all my armor. I always knew I was in a war. I know the war hasn't ended. I'm continuing to move forward. So it doesn't matter. There are times in the course of war. I myself haven't been in the military, but I can only imagine those who have served in wars where they've actually gone to fight, that there were periods of time, I'm sure, as they were traveling where it was quiet, but then there were skirmishes that they would reach hot spots and it would get hotter and then it would get quiet again as they're continuing to battle. Beloved, we've been going through and we've hit a hot spot. Please, please, beloved, just remember you have armor. Maybe we've kind of put some of it to the side, but beloved, we just need to put it back on. We are in a fight. We need to understand what the will of the Lord is. Some of you may be saying, okay, what is it that you clearly think we don't understand? Some things we've heard have been giving me room for pause for quite a while. And I've had many titles to sermons pop in my head. Some I've shared with some of you and you said, yeah, don't use that one. And as I was writing today, I kept thinking about some. And I think the one thing that has stood out to me more than anything else through this entire time is one statement. And if you've been probably listening to me and thinking, Pastor Will's climbing on the soapbox again, well, I'm about to get a lot higher. The things that we have heard concerning the love for our neighbor, it's been the constant theme of every commercial that I see, of every person that I talk to. But I have a question. Where is the love derived from? Is it derived from a love of God? Or is it derived from a love of self in the world? Now remember, the believers who were telling the other believers in Ephesus, which means calling them believers might be questionable, these followers were telling them, hey, continue to live as you want. It's okay. God's love and his grace will keep you. Paul says, listen, don't follow them. Don't practice what they're saying. Their words are empty. We know that. Paul writing in Romans chapter number 6, verse number 1, what does he say? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? He says, absolutely not. Beloved, if men who claim to follow Jesus looked out for their own interests and pleasures, then how empty are the words of the men that I'm hearing coming across from the television set who don't have a relationship with Jesus at all? Follow me for a second. It's been blowing my mind a little bit. I've learned more about the sexuality of the men on CNN. I've learned more about the sexuality of the different people in this world. I've learned more about the lifestyles and the habits about the different people that are bringing me news every single day. Stuff I don't want to know, to be perfectly honest with you. I've listened to countless people and countless stars and actors and athletes and everybody speaking out. And listen, I love what they said. But what's the motivation? You see, in all thy getting, get understanding. Remember earlier, Pastor Cole said, some people may be upright and they may be good. And they, from an outward perspective, that's what it looks like. But inwardly, what's the motive? You see, we're to seek to understand what the will of the Lord is. So everything I keep hearing about love of neighbor, love of neighbor, love of neighbor has been just welling up in me over and over and over again. And I'm thinking to myself, Satan's the prince of this world, but there's such great love being poured out by Satan. That doesn't make sense when you say it like that. And so when I'm looking at the followers in Ephesus who are at least laying claim to having a relationship with God, but the people I hear today don't even lay claim to that. But their words have so much truth. Wait a minute, something's wrong. So I find myself sitting back in my chair sometimes in my room by my desk, and I'm listening, and I'm like, Lord. He says, Will, discern what my will is. Lord, it's hard to figure out with every discern what the will of my son is. Will, my son, listen. Go to your word. What do you see? What do you see concerning the love of God? And this has been something that's just been stirring in my mind for quite some time. I began to think about it more and more and more. Over the last several weeks, I have not preached against social distancing. I have not preached against the government. I have not preached against any CDC guidelines. I have not done anything that has stepped outside of those things. I want to make sure I say that because it's really important. But here's what I have not seen. I know that according to the very guidelines given by our government, given by the CDC and everywhere else, the ability for us to come together as believers and to show love has not been completely halted. Yet many believers have refused to move. That's the reality. And I sit back and I kind of wonder why. You see, Pastor Will, you've been saying this over the past couple of weeks. I've been saying it. Today I have a horn because I'm going to shout it. Because what I believe is God is not absent here. The church is still called to shine. You see, I said this on Tuesday when we were together having our round table. The minute the employers start calling everybody back, they're going. Not maybe, They are. Because that's what I have to do. And that's going to be the operative word. Pastor Will, you don't understand. I have to. I'm going because I don't want to, but I have to. And I agree that many are returning because they have to. But let me submit this to you. God doesn't want you to return to any level of fellowship because you have to. It should be because you want to. Well, there it is right there, Pastor Will. We're on the same page. But let me say this. The desire to be with the body, to be the hands and feet of our Lord, should stir so deep within our hearts that the prompting to reunite with the body should develop within you this mindset. When people say, I don't know why you're meeting with that small group sitting in the park. Don't you know everything that's going on? You don't understand. I have to. Oh, wait a minute. I just thought you said that God doesn't want us to do something because we have to. Because there's such a greater prompting in you, you will begin to respond as if you don't have a choice, even though it's the very thing you want to do. In other words, when people say things like, I don't know why you do. No, you don't understand. I have to. It's like for me not to serve God is like not breathing. You follow where I'm coming from now? It's such a prompting on the inside of you that in your mindset, I have to do this. I want to do it and I have to do it. I can't see myself without praising God. I can't see myself not sharing the gospel. I can't see myself not showing love. I can't see myself not helping my neighbor. I can't see myself not preaching. I can't see it. I have to. Two different ways we come to the have to. Beloved, that compulsion on the inside should be greater than a have to when you just have to go back to work to put food on the table. You see, it's all in how we perceive things, right? In all thy getting, get understanding. What do you really have to do? What do you really consider that have to? You see, for me, I have to keep these doors open through the week. I have to come in here and preach. I have to make sure the gospel is being spread. I have to because I want to, because the love of Christ compels me. I can't see myself not thanking him, not saying, Lord, you are worthy, not praising him. It doesn't matter what's going on out there. I have to and I want to. Beloved, that's where God is calling us to. That's where he wants us to be as believers, with such a strong desire that nothing will hinder us. Beloved, we can completely do what I just described, walking in complete guidance and complete consistency with the guidelines that have been set forth. Where have we been? Where have we been at? Listen. We may be all fellowshipping in our own ways, and Pastor, you're not in my house, and you're not here, and you're not there, so you don't know all the different things that are taking place, and that would be correct. I don't know. But here's what I do know. I know for some that hasn't been the case. And I know some people are saying, okay, well, and that's some, but that's not me. It should move upon us, because maybe some of those who have not are some that we know. Maybe we should be coming alongside them. Maybe it's getting in our vehicle and going to them and saying, hey, how are you doing? It's not always to the unbeliever that we go. Sometimes it's to the brother who's struggling and doesn't know how to turn. But that might mean that I'd have to come outside myself, come outside my home, come outside my comfort zone. But isn't that what it means to love your neighbor as yourself? Wouldn't you want somebody to come to you? You see, I want you to start to get this picture. What's going on all around us? I know people will say, well, you don't have to fellowship in order to be able to show God's love. Those aren't things we have to do. Beloved, when we go to the scriptures, we have to take it in totality. So I'm going back to what Paul said. Let us not be foolish, but let us understand what the will of the Lord is. Are we going to have a healthy fear that something could happen to us? Beloved, I had this healthy fear before COVID-19. My daughter finally asked me the other day. She said, Dad, I just don't get it. I said, what is it? She said, aren't you scared? And I sat there. And then my wife, she was frustrated about something else, and so she started talking to me. Then my youngest daughter came downstairs, and then she started saying something, and then my youngest daughter became Dr. Phil, and she started making sure she was doing some counseling between me and my wife. And so we had Dr. Phil on one side, my daughter Autumn was Dr. Oz on the other side, and everybody was jumping off with advice in terms of what they thought needed to be done, and I was just listening. And then in a moment I stopped, and I said, listen, and this is not a slight against Dr. Phil or Dr. Oz. I said to them, I turned to my daughter and I said, yes, of course I get, there's fear that wells up on the inside of me. I'm human. And I turned to my wife and said, of course there are moments where I'm concerned about whether I'm doing too much or too little, or what God would have me to do, or how am I supposed to go forward when there's other people around me who may be closer to me that maybe God should be sending me to, i.e. maybe people in my own family. How do I reconcile all that? It's a daily battle. We're all going through something, and that's what I was saying to all three of them. The difference is I don't always say what I'm going through. And of course, my youngest said, well, Dad, maybe that's a problem. If you shared your feelings a little bit more, obviously, listening to her, I said, as soon as I begin to share, my daughter, who sat to the left of me, she said, well, maybe, and she started to get a little fearful. And I said, and that's why. You see, I have the same concerns you do. There's just one place I take them. When I share them with God, he doesn't get afraid. When I tell God, I'm a little fear about it, God says, oh, don't tell me. I don't know what I'm going to do. God doesn't get afraid. As a matter of fact, he strengthens me. He encourages me. He says, Will, I need you to understand how I'm going to use this in you. See, this is turning you back towards me. I want you to understand that as you're continuing to go out there and you're concerned about how things are going to go with your family, listen, I honor those who honor me. As you're going to the ones I'm sending you to, trust that I'm sending someone to yours. You see, it all comes together, and they all sit and they listen. And Moise said, it sounds so much better when you kind of break it all the way down like that. You mean when I break down and you guys all see my emotions? And so I'm not emotionless. But beloved, I don't want to be led by them. I'm no different than anybody else. And if I allow them to overflow, they'll begin to take over. I have to be led with what I know. And then my feelings come alongside that. I don't want to be foolish. I want to understand what the will of the Lord is. And this is the place we have to be as believers. We have to constantly be saying, Lord, what is your will? What is your will? What is your will? Remember, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts, and it should compel us to share him. His love is our love. It makes it impossible for us to be okay with others not hearing and coming to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. How can we not desire to share Jesus, to save our neighbor from sin and eternal death? If we are concerned, if we showed as much concern for the spiritual soul as we do for the physical body, we might begin to tread on what God's love truly is. And so right now, we have to be sure that the love being called for is God's love. Let's make sure it's the love of Christ, that we're seeking to share him and his life and not the love of self or the world. The world quickly says, oh, come on, do not be selfish so much as to think about yourself only. Shelter in place. Don't leave unless it's absolutely necessary. I completely agree. And what God calls me to is absolutely necessary. It's essential. That should be screaming from the heart of the believer. The world doesn't see a need for the spread of the gospel. So what they've considered essential, they put around us. And we've gone to websites and we looked at everything and we're saying, they say these things are essential. I agree. They are essential as they relate to the world. But now I have to step outside the world because I want to be obedient to the world. But my principles, they come from above. And so as I'm listening here, there are some other things that God puts around me that says, listen, there's some other principles I need you to see and I need you to be able to follow. Understand what the will of the Lord is. I'm not upset that the world is not concerned about whether or not we meet again as believers. I don't expect them to. This is an essential business to them, but it is to those who believe. Paul, when he's writing in Acts 20, you know how essential the sharing of the gospel was to him. He says in Acts 20:22, "And now behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonments and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." It's essential. Paul said, listen, I don't know. Can you imagine? I know I'm going to suffer. I know I'm going to be persecuted. It probably is going to lead in death. I already know that. God told me how much I was going to suffer when he called me. But he says, listen, I need to go now. And he's speaking to the elders at Ephesus, the very people whom this letter is written. He said, listen, I need to go. And I don't know what's going to happen to me, but I do know this much. Persecution's going to happen. Affliction's going to happen. I know that I'm going to go through. Catch that. Paul said, listen, I have to go. I have to go. But listen, I know what awaits me. There's a difference between knowing and possibility. For some of us, there's a possibility that something could happen to us. Paul's not saying, listen, it's possible that if I leave, this could happen. Notice his word choice. I know that when I leave, that these things await me. I know what I'm walking into. Beloved, when we walk out, it's just a mere possibility that something could happen. Paul knew it, and he still went. Why? Because it's essential that I go. I've been commissioned to take the gospel to the world. I cannot shrink back. I cannot count my life dear to myself. The gospel has to go, otherwise men will die and be lost forever. I can't live with that. Why? Because that could have been me. And I cannot sleep without taking it. So I know what awaits me. Beloved, if we're struggling with dealing with possibilities, what are you going to do when they're actualities? When the church is actually being persecuted like it is in other countries? If we're struggling with the possibility of something happening and the percentage of it happening to you and you actually losing your life as a result of it, even less, how do we stand now? See, we're on the other side in so many different ways, still going through. But beloved, wrapping our mind around this is important because Satan's still the prince of this world and our battle is not over. We're still in a war. There's still things that are going to come against the church. Paul didn't count his life dear to himself. He didn't value it above loving Jesus and living out his will. Listen, when Jesus is writing in Revelation, he's speaking to John. Notice how he describes the believers in Revelation 12:11, "For they love not their lives even unto death." Again, many believers agree that the most important thing right now is the health of our nation. So do I. But the most important thing is the salvation of man's soul. The world and I disagree here. See, one of the ways we are used by God to save is by sharing and living Jesus, regardless of the circumstances. Remember, the angels in heaven rejoice over the saving of one. The Son is glorified. His death, burial, and resurrection are magnified when men and women come to believe in him for eternal life. Beloved, I pray you're grasping what thus saith the Lord, not me. Now, some of you are like, Pastor Will, you know, I get it. But again, back to the building, back to the gathering, all these things. Listen, we are the church. That is a true profession. But beloved, without fruit, saying I'm the church doesn't make me the church. James says faith without works is dead. So let me be clear. I'm not saying if you're not willing to die, you're not a Christian. So please, don't turn me off and say, well, Pastor Will said I'm not willing to die, so I must not be a believer. That's not what I'm saying, nor is that what this verse is saying. It's saying that when a person is saved, his faith, which grows, which then produces fruit, and as the eyes of understanding become open, they produce works that are consistent with faith in Christ Jesus. And those works, beloved, continue to mature us to the place to where we're following and being led by the Holy Spirit. And however the Lord leads, we're willing to follow. In other words, we must play our part. Listen, I know some of us are thinking, well, the videos are working just fine. People are hearing the gospel. Think about that. The videos are streaming everywhere. Everybody's got something. You can look at something all the time. You can turn on your radio. People are not void of being able to hear it. You're 100% correct. Can I tell you something? When I was a non-believer, the last thing I was doing was tuning on to YouTube to listen to somebody preach. The last thing I was doing was putting it on 90.3 K-Love so they could speak encouragement to my life. So let's be real for a second, okay? We say that these means are working. These means are working for the believer. And just maybe there's spillover, we pray, to those who don't believe us. We're sharing with different people that we know. But let's not fool ourselves in believing that the majority of those who don't believe are now sitting at home thinking, how can I tune in and listen to Christian TV or Christian radio? Beloved, come on. These means have benefited the church and have helped to keep us connected. But they cannot be the means of spreading the gospel to people who will not even tune in. See, we cannot fool ourselves, and that's what we have a tendency to do. Like, these means are working. No, beloved, when we come together and stir one another on, and we go to our jobs, in the workplace, in the neighborhoods, out, then we're meeting and encountering people who don't know, and we have an opportunity by the way we show love, and by the way we show Christ, and by the way we come alongside to preach the gospel. So this forum is helping us stay connected. It's helping some who may not have heard. Maybe we're sitting at home with family members who may not have attended church or may not have come out for the first time. And I'm so thankful because I believe many of them have been watching those in their homes who have been going out. And I believe that those who've yet to come have so much to bring to the table because God wants to do a work in and through them that's nothing short of amazing. And my prayer is that they come out together as a family once again. But this can't be our medium for delivering the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember last week we said that by faith, hearing, right? It's by hearing that men and women come to faith in Jesus Christ. Because, beloved, it can't be void of understanding. We need to continue to move forward in the power of His might. In sharing the gospel, the ministry of reconciliation that's been entrusted to us. I sound like a broken record, but don't turn me off. People are dying. Now, if this were pre-COVID-19 and I said people were dying, we must do our part in yielding ourselves, I would at this point hear from people inside here say, amen. But let me say it, during COVID-19, people are dying. And as we look around, people are literally dying a lot closer to us than before. Let me ask you a question. Have you stopped and thought, how many times could I have gone to a senior living facility to volunteer? How many times could I have gone to a hospital to help with the sick? A homeless shelter to help others? How many times did I have the opportunity to share the gospel with those who we're now seeking to protect? Everything I hear is how we want to protect those. We need to look out for everyone else. Yet when we had the ability to truly look out for them the greatest, where were we at? That's me included. Where were we? Remember, whose love are we talking about? The love of the world and the love of self or the love of God? The Father's heart has never been far from loving and caring for those. I'm just going to give you scriptures. Isaiah 46:4. I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. I made you. I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. Isaiah 58:6. No, this is the kind of fasting that I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. And do not hide from relatives who need your help. How about Matthew 25, where Jesus is speaking in verse number 31? When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations. Catch that, all the nations. We're going to come back to that. And He will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you are blessed, my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer, Lord, When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Beloved, the affected, those at high risk, have always been in need of help, but not just physically. You see, as believers, we have to go back to the eyes of our understanding. When we volunteer in these places, when we come, it's because we're being compelled by the love of Christ. You see, those volunteer opportunities are doors that God props wide open for us to be able to deliver the ministry of reconciliation that will save their very soul. So as we care for the poor, the homeless, the sick, the elderly, meeting their practical needs, we become ministers of God's love, and that love works to herald the message of Jesus Christ. They're wide open doors. Beloved, I know hindsight's always 20/20, right? We're always trying to look back. But here's what happens when we start living like that. People start to ask, like, why do you care so much? Why do you love so selflessly? Why do you spend your time coming down here when you have a family at home? Why are you spending time here at a nursing home doing this or in senior living facility doing that? I mean, didn't you just have a kid last week? Why are you not at home enjoying these things? They look at that. How much more do you think they would look at it now? Now I understand that we're not allowed to go in. But there are many other things that we can do for many other people. How much have we sought them? Been on our knees to where we struggled with standing back up because we've been crying out. I know you can use me. I want to discern what the will of the Lord is during this time. Beloved, it isn't just shelter in place. The scriptures are wrought with how we as believers are to move in the midst of calamity. As I've already stated, not in disobedience. There's always been a door that's been open to comply and yet still be his disciple. But then that takes us back to the one thing that I said I've been thinking about. Loving our neighbor. Are we willing to love them like Jesus? Are we willing to love them like Paul? Are we willing to love them like Epaphroditus, who almost died because of his work for the Lord? Are we willing to lay down our lives out of love in order to meet those spiritual needs? That's loving your neighbor as you would yourself. See, 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's good and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Jesus said, the world will know we are his disciples by the love we have for one another. Beloved, this message of reconciliation that we have, we can't just talk about it. We need to be about it. It's time for us to say, hold on a second, what have I been doing? Here's where I want you to grasp. I'm coming close to an end. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Because his idea of love is counterculture to the world's idea of love. David Platt has a book called Counterculture. And I was listening to a sermon. And I want to read from you. I want to read an excerpt from his sermon. Said this, amidst all the news we're receiving in regards to what's happening in our nation, have we considered what's happening in the nations around the world as a result of this pandemic? He goes on to say, did you read this week about 36 countries facing potential famines of biblical proportion, filled with millions of people who will starve to death if they shelter in place? If they shelter in place, they will starve. Or how about countries that have no infrastructure for things like this? They have no running water to even wash their hands at home. How about the swarms of locusts right now in the horns of Africa that is destroying crops? Obviously not because of COVID-19, but on top of it. He talked about the world's worst food crisis in Yemen right now. Or the inability to social distance in poor countries like Haiti, where everything is stacked right on top of each other. Beloved, remember, Jesus said, before him he will gather all the nations. The desire, Father, is that salvation has gone out to the world. If we're believers, and we're going to talk about loving our neighbors, it doesn't just stop here. You see, there's a concern that is far-reaching. Right now, America's focused on America. But again, their love is not God's love. Remember, understand what the will of the Lord is. We're called to show the love of God to our neighbors throughout the world. Beloved, if we love our neighbors as ourselves, we may not change the conditions. I can't change their conditions. There's nothing I can do in those countries. But in the sphere of influence that the Lord gives you, you might not know that you might be ministering to somebody who's from one of those countries. And then when they go back to that country, they begin to minister because now they've become the believer. In other words, beloved, you may not see how you're going to impact them. But when you're on your knees praying, it's not just keep us in America from COVID-19. Lord, we're praying for the world, but not just praying for the world to be kept safe from COVID-19. We're praying for those countries that have not heard the gospel, those people who do not know you exist, those who are walking in fear and don't know that there is hope. Lord, how will you use me? I do not know, but I know one thing. I'm not just going to shelter in this room and not go outside. I need to be your witness. I want to be your witness. I have to be your witness. So send me. Beloved, that has to be our prayer. When we really love our neighbors as ourselves, people will think you have flat lost your mind. I don't understand what you're doing. You're being so selfish. No, I'm actually being obedient. Selfish would be if I threw a party and invited 200 people to come over and watch my grandson Champagne Nashy do a dance. That would be selfish, okay? Me going to a group of 4, 8, 10, 2, 1 is not only obedient to the government, it's a blessing to our Lord. It's essential, beloved. We are to love not as the world does, but as the Lord loves. When we start to love people like this, you'll be reminded of what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it's for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. 2 Corinthians 5:13 through 15. Paul said, if we are beside ourselves, if people look at us like we're crazy, it's for you. When I'm out sometimes, people say, you went where? You did what? You met with them here? Did you really know that person? Did you know that? They look at me like I'm crazy, like I got three eyes. But beloved, understand what the will of the Lord is. There are people that I've encountered that I wasn't even looking for, that God has sent. Pastor, I hear what you're saying. The spiritual battle was real. We're too busy fighting it with human wisdom. So let me bring this to a close. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saint, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. Now, Paul already detailed the richness of the blessed inheritance. Remember, now and not yet. But as he closes the section, he prays for them to know what is the hope they've been called to. And it's interesting because the word that he uses for know isn't gnosis. He uses a different word. It's not so much knowledge by experience. It's an intuitive insight that is drilled into a person's heart. The idea is that you have such a full understanding that you begin to develop a keen perception through the Holy Spirit into certain things. An example is when Jesus began to wash the disciples' feet. And if you recall, Peter was like, he didn't want him to wash his feet. And then Jesus began to say to him, he says in John 13:7, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand. Those words understand two different words. What I'm doing you do not understand now, the first Greek word, oida, meaning he didn't perceive what was taking place. But then he said, but afterwards you will understand gnosis, which means through experience, you will gain knowledge. So the point is that as you continue to get a fuller understanding of what's taking place through the things you will go through, you will begin to get a perception or develop this perception, this keen insight, the ability to be able to see. So here was Paul. Here's what Paul is saying in these first 20 some odd verses of Ephesians. I want you guys to truly know what God has blessed you with. I want you to truly know that you've been called to him. I want you to know this hope beyond a shadow of a doubt. I want you to understand it in such a way that you continue to grow in the knowledge of him so that he can grant you the eyes to perceive what the non-believer cannot. And here's the distinction for us. There's a lot going on and a lot being said, but as we grow in understanding of Him, we should begin to perceive what's of God and what's of the world. It may sound right, and for all intents and purposes, many of those things are what we desire too, but there's this distinction. We need to perceive, we need to understand that the Word, it slices, it's sharp, it cuts like a two-edged sword. So we need to discern between the thought and the intent. Beloved, the Holy Spirit does that on the inside of us. So when we start talking about this great love our neighbor as ourselves, what is the world of God saying, especially in regards to love right now? Beloved, we've seen it throughout the gospel that this love is sacrificial. It is obedient, but it is sacrificial. We see it in those who don't know Him, putting their lives on the line in the hospitals. Can we see it in those who do? Putting their lives on the line to spiritually see those who don't know Him live. Beloved, God doesn't leave us there. We take it one step further. Pastor Will, you keep saying you're closing. Well, I'm getting there. I'm going to read verse 18 again. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of the glorious inheritance of the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Beloved, we're not just called. We don't just have the love of God poured out into our hearts. We're not just called to share it and have the love of God poured in our heart that compels us. We've been granted the power to respond to it. You see, everything I've been saying, we all are in the same place. Like, I can't bring myself to that place. You never will be able to. But the immeasurable greatness of His power towards you can. And that was part of Paul's prayer. He concludes by saying, listen, I want you to know the immeasurable greatness of His power towards those who believe. Remember, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all. Who can know it? But when we understand with greater clarity the work of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, we begin to see this immeasurable power. I wish I could unpack all this in this section, but I don't have the time this morning. And my prayer is that you will go back and read it through. But I want you to think about this immeasurable power for just a second. The reason why Paul, Epaphroditus, the Lord Jesus Christ ourselves, were able to take the gospel, no matter what the circumstances was always owing to the measurable power at work within them. Beloved, I want you to understand the type of power that I'm talking about, because he describes it. This power is what raised Him from the dead. It seated Him at the right hand of God. It has placed everything under His feet. It has given Him a name above every single name. I'm not talking about some power. I'm talking about omnipotence unlike anything we've ever seen before. And this same power that has our Savior sitting on high and looking down low is being exercised towards you. We have the power to love the way I've been describing, not because of what's in us, or rather, should I say, because of what's in Him that is in us. When we talk about God's omnipotence and His power, we can't comprehend how powerful He really is. Paul's saying, listen, I want you to understand the power of the resurrection. The ability to love our neighbor as ourselves is only possible if God's power is at work on the inside of us. Beloved, it's an immeasurable strength. We look at the men and women who've died for the gospel and we keep saying, how did they get to this place? Beloved, there was a power on the inside of them. You see, many of us today are struggling right now, and here's the reason why. We're suffering from a power shortage, and not because you didn't pay the bill. We're suffering from a power shortage because you need to understand, first, Jesus paid it all. So you don't got to run out and put nothing on your card. You need to understand the bill has been paid. Your power will never run out. Beloved, we need to utilize the power we've been given. And we need to understand the power of His resurrection. You see, this verse is connected to the preceding verses. So as Paul's praying for greater clarity in the riches of God's grace, he's also saying, I need you to understand with greater depth the power that's in you to actually walk out the things that God is calling us to. That's what he wanted us to know as believers. So when we continue to know, that is through experience, we only experience by walking in His power. Then we come to fully understand what matters. And we understand the power that will allow us to go through anything that we face. We will be able to perceive when God is telling me to stay, when God is telling me to go. And when he's telling me to go, he's going to empower me to be able to do it. Beloved, Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Notice what he says next. This power is in us, right? And so he says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Listen. We start losing sight of this body. We start focusing on what's going on. The surpassing power doesn't stop. It's supernatural. It's the Holy Spirit at work, and it's immeasurable. So when my daughter says, Dad, how do you find this? I don't. I just stay plugged in. His power takes me through. And beloved, notice the scripture said, according to his power. And this is really important. Because it's not talking about just merely a portion. We've talked about this before. You see, let's look at the Red Sea. God could have made a way for the Israelites to cross the Red Sea without parting it. He could have done something to Pharaoh's army. He could have made sure that there were other means that were available to get them across. He could have just kept the water calm. But that's not what we saw. That would have been amazing. What we saw was his power at work. He literally split the sea. That's according to his power. What do I mean? The same power we see when he said, let there be light. The same power that said, hold the waters back. The same power that said, dust form man. That same power said, split the ocean so that my people can walk over. According to his power. So I want you to grasp that according to his power, that's what he does towards us. Which means that as we are moving forward, we're being led by him. And he is literally using his power on our behalf. That's resurrection power. So listen, I'm not crazy when I'm sitting here saying, listen, we need to go. It sounds like you're telling me that I need to just continue to move forward. Yes. Listen, our economy and many things are opening. And many are the pastors gathering saying, how do we calm the nerves of the people? And beloved, I'm right there with them. But I believe as I started this sermon, the same scriptures that I would look for that would offer you hope as it speaks directly to your feelings and emotions. The same scripture that I'm speaking right now that offer the same hope as I speak to your mind and your emotions. You already have the power to walk out of that house. You already have the power to understand what it means to continue to be a light in this world. You already have the power to understand what it means to reunite. And that power should be in you, working and compelling you to want to continue to be his witnesses. Because, beloved, when the doors open, and we seek to find comfort in everywhere else, my prayer is the first place we find comfort as a body is coming back together again. That it's not the last place you try, but it's the first place. And that you don't come to try it. Did you say, there's no place I'd rather be? That doesn't mean that being in your home, Jesus wasn't there. But beloved, back to the body. If there's an accident and my hand is severed and they put it on ice, it can only survive so long before they have to reattach it. Beloved, a lot of us have been on ice. We can only survive so long without being reattached. And not just the body in terms of as it relates to us as believers. I'm talking about as it relates to being lights in the world. Pastor, well, how do I do this? Simple. Because of the immeasurable power that has worked towards you. In other words, God says, I'm not counting on you. I'm going to do it. I just need you to step. I just need you to trust me. Why would I do that? Because you understand me. And you understand what the will of the Lord is. That is the salvation of man's soul. That's why my son came. And that's why Paul could say, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think according to the what? Power. according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and amen. The men who carried the scriptures to the world in the midst of disease, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of alienation, in the midst of famine, they stared death in the face and they did not flinch. Not because they had capes, not because they were super Christians, but because of the immeasurable power that was at work towards them, that surpassing greatness of God's power that was work in them and for them. Do you know this power this morning? Because this power is needed to truly be able to say, I'm going to love my neighbor as I would myself. Which means that if this were somebody that I truly knew and loved, nothing would stop me from sharing, no matter what I had to risk. Beloved, I don't want to convince you. That love of God I know is in you. And I know you hear him. We're all in the same place. But beloved, every message coming through the airwaves and coming across is not the same mode. It does not have the same motive. There is a love that is sweeping the world. But beloved, let me be clear. The world's love is not God's. And the world's idea of loving one's neighbor is not the same as Jesus's. Understand what the will of the Lord is this morning. People are dying closer to us than ever before. If that hasn't actually moved us to want to get out, then maybe we weren't as moved as we thought we were before this whole thing happened. Because as we hear and see of people dying without us, without Jesus, that should cause within us this ache and desire to go. We need only to turn to the Holy Spirit and ask for godly wisdom to guide us. This is where we're at, beloved. I want us to learn to love as he loves. My prayer is that I said something that just stirred, that guided, and that will keep you. I know I kept you a little bit longer than normal, but there are these moments where God is just saying, I'm not concerned with the clock. Beloved, hear and understand what the will of your Father is. He loves you. He has empowered you, and he will keep you. Father, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you for truth. As we go about our day, Lord, we pray that it's in remembrance of all that you have taught us. Guide us, keep us, love us. But above all, Father, continue to use us in this world to be the lights and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ for your glory. As you continue to heal, as you continue to keep safe, and as you continue above all to save, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Beloved, you have a blessed afternoon. We have Zoom groups today, 2 p.m., so we'd love to be able to see you. God bless. Have a great rest of the day.